Governor Lehman, Mayor LaGuardia, President Grover Whalen, ladies and gentlemen, I have seen only a small fraction of the fair. But even on what I have seen, I am able to congratulate all of you who conceived the fair and planned the fair, and all you men and women who built the fair. From henceforth in our history, the 30th day of April will have a dual significance. The inauguration of the first President of the United States, which began the executive branch of the federal government, and now the opening of the New York World Fair of 1939. Today also, the cycle of sesquicentennial commemorations is complete. 2 years ago in Philadelphia and other communities was celebrated the Constitutional Convention of 1787. That convention that gave us the form of government under which we have lived ever since. Last year, we celebrated in many places throughout the country the ratification of the Constitution by the original 13 states. On March 4th of this year, the first meeting of the first Congress was commemorated at a distinguished gathering in the House of Representatives in the national capital. And 2 weeks ago, on April 14th, I went to Mount Vernon with my cabinet in memory of that day exactly 150 years before when General Washington was formally notified of his election as president. As you will remember, 2 days later, he left that home he loved so well and proceeded by easy stages to New York, greeted with triumphal arches and flower-strewn streets in the large communities through which he passed on his way to this city. Fortunately, there have been preserved for us many generations later the account of his taking of the oath of office on April 30th on the balcony of Old Federal Hall. In a sense, in a scene of Republican simplicity and surrounded by the great men of his time, most of whom had served with him in the cause of independence throughout the Revolution, the oath was administered to him by the Chancellor of the State of New York, Robert R. Livingston. And so, we in New York have a very personal connection with that 30th of April, 150 years ago. The permanent government of the United States had become a fact. The period of revolution and the critical days that followed were over. The long future lay ahead. In the framework of government which had been devised, and in the early days, the early years of his administration, it is worthwhile that we should remember today that those early leaders successfully planned for such use of the Constitution as would fit the Constitution to a constantly expanding nation. That the original framework was capable of expansion from its application to 48 states to application to 13 states with less than 4 million people to its newer application to 48 states with more than 130 million people, that is the best tribute that we can give to the vision of the Father. In this, it stands unique in the whole history of all the world, because no other form of government has remained unchanged so long and has seen at the same time any comparable expansion of population or of area. And it is significant that the astounding changes and advances in almost every phase of human life have made necessary so relatively few changes in the Constitution itself. All of the earlier amendments may be accepted by us as a part of the original Constitution, because that sacred Bill of Rights, which guaranteed and has maintained personal liberty through freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and freedom of assembly, was already popularly accepted by the inhabitants of the 13 states while the Constitution itself was in the process of ratification. There followed the amendments that put an end to the practice of human slavery, and a number of later amendments that made our practice of government more direct, including, as we're glad today, the extension of the franchise to the women of the nation. And we remember also that the only restrictive amendment which deliberately took away one form of holy personal liberty was, after a trial, an unhappy trial of a few years, overwhelmingly repealed. Only once has the permanence of the Constitution been threatened. Threatened by an internal war brought about principally by the very fact of the expansion of American civilization across the continent. A threat that resulted eventually and happily in a closer union than ever before. And of these later years, these very recent years, the history books of the next generation will set it forth that sectionalism and regional jealousies have diminished. The people of every part of our land have acquired a national solidarity. Of economic and social thought, such as we have never seen before. That has been accomplished. That it has been done has been due first to our form of government itself, and secondly to a spirit of wise tolerance, which with few exceptions has been our American rule. We in the United States, and indeed in all the Americas, North America, Central America, and South America, we remember that our population stems from many races and kindreds and tongues. Often, I think, we Americans offer up a silent prayer that on the continent of Europe, from which the American hemisphere was principally colonized, the years to come will break down many barriers to intercourse between nations. Barriers which may be historic, but which so greatly, through all the centuries, have led to strife and have hindered friendship and normal intercourse. The United States stands today as a completely homogeneous nation, similar in its civilization from coast to coast and from north to south, united in a common purpose to work for the greatest good of the greatest number, united in the desire to move forward to better things in the use of its great resources of nature and its even greater resources of intelligent, educated manhood and womanhood, united in its desire to encourage peace and goodwill among all the nations of the earth. Born of that unity of purpose, that knowledge of strength, that singleness of ideal, two great expositions, one at each end of our continent, mark this year in which we live. And it is fitting that they commemorate the 150th anniversary of the birth of our permanent government. Opened 2 months ago, the exposition on the Magic Island in San Francisco Bay presents to visitors from all the world a view of the amazing development of our own far west and of our neighbors of the American continent and the nations of the Pacific and its isles. Here, at the New York World's Fair of 1939, many nations are also represented. Indeed, most, the overwhelming majority of all the nations of the world. And the theme is the world of tomorrow. This general, and I might almost say spontaneous, participation by other countries is a gesture of friendship and goodwill toward the United States, for which I render most grateful thanks. It is not through the physical exhibits alone that this gesture has manifested itself. The magic of modern communication makes possible a continuing participation by word of mouth itself. Already, on Sunday afternoon radio programs, no fewer than 17 foreign nations have shown their goodwill to this country since the 1st of January this year. In many instances, the chiefs of state of these nations who have taken part in the program, have spoken, and in every case, the principal speaker has extended greetings to the President of the United States. And so in this place, and at this time, as we open the New York World's Fair, I desire to thank all of them and to assure them that we as a nation heartily reciprocate all of their cordial sentiments. All who come to this World's Fair in New York and to the exposition in San Francisco will, I need not tell them, receive the heartiest of welcome. They will find that the eyes of the United States are fixed on the future. Yes, our wagon is still hitched to a star, but it is a star of friendship, a star of progress for mankind, a star of greater happiness and less hardship, a star of international goodwill, and above all, a star of peace. May the months to come carry us forward in the rays of that eternal hope. And so, my friends, the time has come for me to announce, with solemnity perhaps, but with great happiness, a fact. I hereby dedicate the World's Fair, the New York World's Fair of 1939, and I declare it open to all mankind.